Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 303. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. We're going to read some listener emails today, but we actually don't have that many, so we're going to go over some apps as well. Are you guys prepared for that? Is that cool?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. All right, let me introduce the co-hosts and we'll get into it, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, Steve. You should be very happy that when you asked a question, I didn't just give you a thumbs up sign for once.
It's not even like you give me a thumbs up sign. Usually, right. When I ask a question, you guys don't do anything.
I'm doing pretty good. I will say the two games on the game stick I want to mention just as side mentions really quick. Radiant and the, I want to say it's Raging Thunder 2. It's the jet ski game. Where Beach Buggy Blitz made me want to put my fist through a wall because they want you to pay money. Riptide. Mm-hmm. Jet ski game. You can literally play nonstop for hours and hours and just keep playing it. It's just a fun game. My son loves it. He's not great at it, but he loves it. So that's what we've been doing, Steve. I've been doing everything I can to calm my children. Focus my children while they have this week plus off from school, which I know I didn't have a week off when I was in school.
What are you focusing them on?
On video games. Just so they're not running around with their hands above their head, you know, throwing stuff, fighting and getting in arguments and stuff. Because they are kids after all.
That's funny.
So funny.
Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Oh, you know, I'm glad to be here. I've been working on computers again a little bit to frustrate me in between podcasts and regular work. That's about it, though.
I did a job the other day, too.
Did you?
How'd it go? Laptop repair. It was a messy computer. I still didn't know what was wrong with it. I thought the hard drive was bad because it just kept running and running and running. Like, but the hard drive light just kept coming on and just staying on. But there was nothing, no process that was really running, making it do that. So it was a mystery to me. Anyway.
Yeah, I've got a keyboard issue on a laptop, and I just can't. I don't know. I ordered another keyboard for it. Second keyboard's doing almost the same thing.
Oh, it's not the worst.
I know. And a USB keyboard works okay for it. I don't know.
What's it doing?
It acts like the shift is stuck on all the time, and the Q, W, E, and R buttons don't work. And sometimes it'll do a reverse cap locks, where if you hit cap locks, everything will be small. And if you hit it and then turn cap locks off, everything will be capitalized.
Weird. Is there like a num lock key on or something, maybe?
It acts like there's a shift key stuck down. Both of them, though.
And you've also tried it from a Linux boot CD, which rules out a Windows software problem.
Yep.
Same problem. Good call. All right. If anybody knows the answer to that, email Eric.
Yeah. So I'm sending the keyboard back that I bought. It was $34. The thing is, the ribbon cable on this keyboard that they sent me was all like creased, hard creased, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know what? There's, and they're not identical problems between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. So think back.
That's what I'm thinking. And they're like, well, we're sorry, but we tested it before it sent out. It could have been damaged. And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. I don't think it works.
Wow. Good luck with that.
Yeah, no. Frustrating.
And my name is Steve Cherubino. I am the third co-host of this show. And we ask you guys to write us because we want to hear what you have to say. And on our Wednesday show, we read what you write us. That's what we're going to do right now. So let me read an email starting with one from John Zim here. He posted this in the AAA Podnuts Club, I think. I'm not sure where he posted this. No, this was private. He says, I have an app for AAA. I just got a new head unit with Bluetooth for my car. Ultimate Car Dock complements it well. Technically, it does not work with the radio. It's not manufacturer specific. It uses large icons and has a cool feature that turns on Bluetooth and shuts off Wi-Fi when the app launches and does the opposite when the app is exited. Wow. I could use this, John Zim. And that's all he has to say. But looks really good. Big buttons, landscape, which is what I want in my car. And looks great.
What was the name of it again?
It is called Ultimate Car Dock. I don't have a link. He just has a picture of it.
Okay, we'll get that. I don't do mine in landscape currently. Not that it wouldn't be hard to.
You mean you don't put it in your car in landscape mode?
No, I put it portrait mode.
Yeah.
That's not okay, dude.
I'm like paranoid about my phone in my car where I don't want the power cable to suffer from any shearing force whatsoever. So I have my cable coming straight down. So I have my phone in portrait mode.
I do too. That's a big reason why I've got mine that way.
Okay. Because you think if it's landscape and you put the cable in, it's going to bend and eventually break?
On my Moto X, on my Droid X and my Droid X2, both of them, I was experiencing micro USB issues where I had to have the cable at a specific exact angle thing for it to charge. And I always put my phone in my car in landscape. So I was thinking that could have been it.
It's possible. No, I mean, I guess if you tug it enough times, but if you're careful, I mean, I always use it in mine in landscape. I never had that problem. The only problem I had with mine is when I threw my Samsung Galaxy S2 onto my passenger seat, and then I heard, and then I started smelling burning, and then I had to trade that phone in. So, right. But that was my fault.
Yeah, and I want to say, when he mentioned this app, I could have swore I've seen it before, and what I'm thinking is this app was mentioned to me personally by juror number 9, Ray, from Massachusetts. This does have both portrait and landscape layout. It just depends how you have your phone. Super quick. Google Navigation. I figured out what Google Navigation is for. Google Navigation is not for to navigate you to someplace you've never been. The true power, the true usefulness of Google Navigation is to put it where you always go. Because every morning I put it on the way to work and on the way home. And what I realized last week was I've been working the same place for 10 years, 19 years. I've been living here for 10 years. There were times when I would go home and I would get on the beltway. And as soon as I got on the ramp, bam, deadlock for 10 minutes, 15 minutes plus sometimes. What I realized was now I'm doing Google Navigation when I leave. And if there is a change during the traffic pattern while I'm driving, it will tell me to go an alternate route. I have not hit any actual hardcore traffic coming home now for over a year. And it's because I'm using turn-by-turn navigation for routes I already know.
Wow. Mm. That is an eye-opener for me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, if something major happens in your path of travel, in your planned route, a little thing will pop up on the bottom and say, there's a faster route. Do you want to take it? You just click yes, recalculating, bam, now you just follow it, you're going on the new path.
Very cool. That's awesome, dude. I'll tell you what I don't like about navigation. It seems like I have to hit like 6 clicks on my screen before the thing turns on. I find a map, I put an address in a map, I click on that, then I have to click on the bottom of the screen, and I have to click the car, then I have to click something else, then I got to click the arrow, and then navigation starts.
No.
Am I missing something, or is this just freaking material design jelly bean?
Two things. Go ahead, Dor.
Not jelly bean.
You're definitely missing something. After putting the address in, instead of tapping it, if you tap and hold, it will go directly to navigation number one. Number two, if you just use Google Now and say, okay, Google, navigate to 1214 Southbridge Avenue, Clearwater, Florida. You don't have to click nothing, and it will just start up the navigation.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. And that's kind of the same thing with the Google Watch. Same way. You just say, okay, Google, navigate to, and
it went on.
It just did. So you say it to the watch, and then it takes a couple of seconds. It's not immediate. And then all of a sudden, it's navigating on your phone, on your dash, just going.
Okay, cool. I knew you guys would have an answer to that. I should say all my pet peeves with Lollipop, and you guys will tell me, well, you're using it wrong.
Google Now works so good with the voice recognition and commands.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Lollipop. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on the show. I know I mentioned it to you guys. I don't like it.
I think you have mentioned it on the show, but I can't remember.
I'm going to mention it again. Because it seems like when they made it, they didn't focus on like making things really easy to touch. Like, instead of where there used to be like big boxes and icons, you touch them. Now there's just words and you have to touch the words. And it's not as intuitive. I'm disappointed. Yeah. I think it went in the wrong direction with it.
Material design means no boxes, no lines, no borders. Buttons have borders. That's where you know the touch. So to not have the borders is definitely confusing. When using inbox, it's very difficult for me to tell when I touch, am I going to touch in the subject line or the body of the email? And it's very confusing. But I'll just say, when I'm getting ready to go home using the Google Now launcher, right here in my plan, it will say, time till home, because it knows that time of day I'm getting ready to go home. I just click it and then just click start navigation when it's a repetitive route. It just appears in my Google Now.
Got it. Cool. All right. Next one is from Emily. She says, Big Steve, I was wondering if you can download an app called Sharebox. It is new from Google. You upload files that you want other people to see without the other person having to go to your cloud service to retrieve the files. They just look in your Sharebox with the files you already put in there. Have you ever heard of this? And what do you think about it? Emily.
In short, not from Google, and in long, not a replacement at all for anything else.
It's not from Google?
No, it's not from Google, and no, it does not replace anything else, because all it is, what it's really intended for, what it's really use case for, is I'm here at home, and I want to quickly get files from my home Android computer to either my desktop computer or to my wife's Android phone or to something else on the same local area network. That's it. You do not need a Google account. You do not need a Dropbox account. You do not need a OneDrive.
But that's a good use case. I mean, if it does it do that well, at least.
Well, it does. But what the developer told her was, oh, no. You can use it on 3G, 4G. You just turn it on. And then on 3G, 4G, anyone, if you're on Verizon, anyone on Verizon then can access your files. I told her that's not safe. That's actually quite bad of them. And if the app becomes popular at all, Verizon or the phone carriers will actually block whatever port it's using, because it is inherently unsafe. And it's a very easy way for illegal content to be shared amongst long groups of people. So the carriers will not like it. This is an app I highly encourage no one to download and install unless you need it on your local area network. Or like you're at your job and you want to share stuff with a bunch of coworkers and you're all on the same Wi-Fi kind of thing. That there it makes sense, but not out in the public sector, not on the public internet kind of thing.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. Well, we found one good use for it. What it was, I guess, originally meant for. Thank you, Dor. Next one is from Canon St. Rose. He says, I've made two great purchases this year. The first one being my Acer C720 Chromebook. I've only had it for about 2 months, but it has already become my go-to computer for me, my wife, and kids. My Chromebook pretty much goes with me just about everywhere now. The next great purchase, believe it or not, is my LG G2. Earlier this year, my Galaxy Note 2 just up and died on me, so I quickly purchased a LG G2. I was surprised how much I really enjoyed using this phone. I know there are plenty of better, phones available now. However, this phone is kept well satisfied, which is surprising because for the past 4 years, I've never kept the same phone longer than a year. LG has really made a great device. Beside the camera not being as good as the Samsung, it's still good enough for taking decent photos. Personally, I have moved away from taking lots of photos with my cell phone. I take most of my photos with my Sony RX100. Well, that's nice to know. It's got some good suggestions there.
Very cool. I will say everyone who's bought an LG phone since the G2, either the G2 or the G3, has spoken uncommonly good about it. Partially, I think, because of the lack of bloatware, like TouchWiz or whatever, on the phone, I think is one of the deciding factors to people's happiness. But everyone I know who's had one, been very happy about it. Jeff Halish, Podnuts Daily, my Hard Drive Dive, will not stop talking positively about his G3.
Really?
Yeah.
Sean Johnson also has one and loves it. I might get that phone. I'm looking at phones.
I held the G3, a friend of mine. I was out to dinner with a couple of weeks ago. We had one. It's a very nice phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems really, really nice.
Yeah. See,
what would you get, that or a Nexus 6, Eric?
Oh, Nexus 6. If I was to choose between the two, just the hardware.
It's a little faster. That's all.
Yeah, it's about 6 months newer.
So, Dor, what would you get?
Neither one of them. I don't like either one of them.
Well, I would to choose between the two. That was the question.
I would buy the Nexus 6 and then sell it on Swappa. I would get either a Oppo 7, I believe it's an Oppo Final 7, a OnePlus 1, or a Xiaomi, I believe it's called Xiaomi 5, Xiaomi 4 LTE. I'm a firm believer phones with 3 gigs immensely outperform any phone with 2 gigs of RAM.
Oh, the G3 has 2 gigs?
I'm positive it does. I don't even have to look at it, yeah.
Thought it had 3. All right.
I could be wrong.
3 is always better than 2.
Well, you know.
At least.
I'll just say, Steve, I've been wrong many times in my life, and I'm not going to insist this is not a time where, whatever. I just confused myself.
Yeah, well, if it had 3 gigs of RAM, would you consider it then?
3 gigs of RAM. It does have 3 gigs of RAM. There you go. I was wrong. I would consider it. I would say put it in your hand, because I don't know if the buttons is something I would like. The back buttons, I don't know.
Oh, you put it in your hand, Steve? You're going to love it. And the back button is really cool.
And the Nexus 6 has 3 gigs of RAM, too. I was completely wrong. I didn't think either one of them.
You need to update your little list there.
No, I just don't want any phone where it comes with lockdown stuff, so I don't look at most American phones now.
Gotcha. All right.
I'm turning into an elitist.
You are. It's so elite.
Right before your eyes.
With American phones anymore.
I would recommend the Oppo Digi451 LTE version.
When in doubt, pinky's out.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's it for the emails. If you guys want to send us more, send them to aaa@podnuts.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail, just call 707-6-PODNUT on your phone. We know you have phones. Don't pretend like you don't. You're listening to an Android show. So call 707-6-PODNUT and we'll play your voicemail. Or you can send us an audio file. Some of you guys have done that, and they've turned out really, really good. They sound fantastic. So you can do all of those things. So this is going to be a little bit of a short show, this show. What do you think, guys?
I've got something I want to talk about before we end this one off, because this is kind of a fan viewer email sort of thing. I'm going to share this link with you, and it's a Google Plus link, so I don't know if you'll be able to bring it up. If not, I'm also going to share my screen here in the live chat. What this is a copy of what one of our listeners, who's actually in the chat tonight, Mark Serolt, has made for the podcast. It's the official Android App Addicts watch face.
Wow.
I believe it's probably going to be in face repo if it's not yet. Hopefully it will be. This is the second revision of it. He's made the first one actually had our names labeled above each Android on the watch face. And the temperature and stuff wasn't there. He's got right on the screen. It's a great looking watch. It's got the watch battery percentage and the phone battery. You can look at your watch and see how much battery is left on your phone, which is really cool. It's got the weather, time in digital and analog, in case you don't read phone lingo or whatever. It's got the date on there. It's just really good. Very well done. Works great. Now, I've got the exclusive, speaking of being elite, that he made a special one just for our 300th episode, a commemorative one that in the middle of the second hand, it's got a big circle that says 300 on it as the second hand spins around.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's so cool, Mark. I really like it. I do think it's fantastic. And the only thing, Mark, I would say to change is never use Arial font on anything you do if you're designing something.
Okay, now see how I'm a phone elitist. Steve is a font elitist. He can,
I'm just
he
saying,
can, if you he can spot those fonts from 3.5 miles away or clicks away and use Arial.
And that's all I'm going to say is just never, ever use Arial because it's the default font for everything.
What about Comic Sans?
And Comic Sans.
You know what I always use is Book Antiqua for everything.
You could do that. I recommend not using any of like the ones that come standard with Word or anything like that. The font I used for the words Android App Addicts was Lato, L-A-T-O. So if you want to, you know, make it, what's the word where it all kind of goes together? Probably.
Synergistic.
Yeah. If you want to make it synergistic, just change the fonts to Lato or Lato Black and it will look beautiful. But I think other than that, it's fantastic. Sorry for my criticism. It's more of trying to be helpful here.
Yeah, no, honestly, I was using a watch face that was similar to it. This one works much better. I was having issues. Yeah, no, this is one of the best watch faces I've used. And he used a different program called Watch Face to make this one rather than I was using Facer in the past. And that could have been some of the issues with some of the watch faces I was getting on Facer.
That's so cool.
But he's got a few of them in Face Repo. He's got a little thing going there.
Damn. Well, it's really good cool. Job, Mark. That's badass. Makes you want to get some Android wear.
He said it's Roboto.
The font is Roboto? Yeah. Really?
Ooh.
All right. Try Lato. what was I going to say? Speaking of Android wear, we're not going to talk about that.
Go ahead. My wife wants to get a watch now.
Really?
She wants to get one. Now, this one, the LG G watch doesn't do your heart rate. She wants one that does her heart rate and steps, you know, for walking and things.
Okay. From what I hear, none of them do heart rate accurately if you're moving, except the Microsoft band, which is it doesn't look like a traditional watch where it has a fat face and skinny. No, if you listen to the Pocket Show, Eric, from a month ago that I was on,
yeah,
the Microsoft guy lover spoke very highly about that band, and I went and looked at it, and it got everywhere I look at it, it's getting great reviews. I want to say it's called the Microsoft Life Band.
I didn't say nothing, man.
I saw you laughing at me for talking good about Microsoft. I got two eyes right there. See them? Right there.
Let me go back to the screen share.
You're on the edge of your seat, Dor?
it's called Microsoft Band. And it does supposedly do very good heart rate reading, even if you're doing exercises.
Yeah, I told her it's early for the wearables. They're coming. They're getting there.
Yeah.
Because I know the Moto 360 has one on it too. But she doesn't even have a smartphone yet. So, you know, Yeah, she's got a feature phone still.
She doesn't.
She can text with clickable buttons.
I didn't know they still made them.
Yeah.
I thought they had to all be destroyed.
No.
Not yet.
All right. Very cool, boys and girls and whoever else is listening and on the show. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, hit us up with some emails at aapodness.com. We're running a little low, and we want to know what you have to say. Let us know your feedback about like even things like how you think the show's doing, any show suggestions, I don't know, things you like about it, things you hate about it, different things, whatever you want. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next time.